League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
The Astros are a season best 10 games above 500. They are in the midst of an 8-game winning streak with the rank Chicago White Sox on deck at Minute Maid Park this weekend, and they lead the American League West by 3 games. We're feeling chesty because the good times be rolling, and as a show on this Friday, gotta get down on Friday, we're trying to think up something that we can say whenever we're pumped about the Astros in unison, the same way that we say Texans
swarm.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I was Googling.
I was quick with that one. We have a couple of nominations from the text line. Someone, 409 Josh says, Astros! Then he has a train horn there.
But we're supposed to say it.
Hang on. Astros! Nah, I can't do one. Yeah. I tried. Astros crush! And he has this, standing for cheaters ruin utterly significant Houstonians. Nah, doesn't really make a lot of sense there, bud. But we appreciate the effort.
Yeah. They are hard to come up with, as we learned.
Astronomical! It's one word? That's another text there.
I think it makes the list, but I don't
okay.
know.
Yeah.
Astros blast off!
Okay.
Astros launch!
Launch is a little bit better because it's shorter.
It's shorter, and it also, there's something about it like launch, swarm, kind of feel yeah. like they're not similar. They don't sound the same, but there's a same energy in there.
Yeah, okay. I think launch is the leader for me right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think nomical makes the
cut. To be honest, I haven't done it with you yet, but I don't hate sparkle.
Okay. Good. That's what I want. That's what I wanted to hear.
Make the final round.
I don't fully hate it.
Okay? I wasn't going to say it because that's what I want to win right now because it's so goofy and it'll, I know, annoy some people. But it'll also confirm some thoughts that others have of me, and I like keeping that bit going. It is a Friday. Listen, we're going to break down the White Sox. We'll save that for the afternoon, boys. You know,
I can do it. Ready? They are bad.
Oh, I like that.
Ta-da.
Thank you. I was wondering if you were going to get into talking about Garrett Crochet.
No.
Garrett Crochet's ex-WOBA is really something else. So, Sean, you about to say something?
Is this one for Martin Maldonado?
Oh, they did cut him.
Oh, is he finally cut?
Yeah, they cut him like a month ago, I think.
Yeah. Oh, damn.
Yeah.
I think this one might be for Mald.
I actually think they went on like that 20-game losing streak after they cut him.
That makes sense.
So, Martin? Yeah, I think this is for Martin Maldonado.
Got to do it for
the revenge of Machete.
Yeah.
I hope he's there.
What if the White Sox do something diabolical? They're announcing the starting nine.
And at first base, Jose Abreu.
I'd love that.
Like, is the WWE? Like, yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. No one knew he was signed.
With the 16 White Sox fans in attendance. They're like, yeah.
I was trying to see if my cousin was going to drive down from Austin. I was like, hey, man, haven't seen you in a while. You want to come watch some baseball?
Yeah, man.
This weekend, like, I'll buy the tickets. And he's like, I'll come see you. We're not going to the game. And I was like, okay.
That's fair.
You know, we haven't played this in a while. The good times are rolling. It's a good time to be an Astros fan. And I really enjoy this song. We haven't played it nearly enough because of the struggles for the Astros this season. I call this the Astros cocaine song. Joe, I think you've heard it before.
I have.
But I just want to give it to everybody one more time.
Hit it. Why do they argue the umpire's call? Why do the fielders crash into walls? Why do you think the pitchers throw smoke? Why do you think they
guess it's only a game.
Why do the catches wear iron masks?
I don't know.
Why do they die for the dive on the grass? Why do they go head first into home? Why do the losers feel all alone?
Who says it's only a game? When you want to give it all you've got, the war's not over till the final shot.
Did that give any of us inspiration for the Astros slogan?
Sean, can you send it to me so I can start to memorize it so I can sing along?
You only need to know a couple of parts.
I know. But I need to make sure I know the parts.
I will email it to you.
Because the rest of it is just it's a bunch of questions that no offense to the ladies out there, but a girlfriend would maybe ask her boyfriend if she's never watches baseball and he takes her to the park. I mean, right? Like, why do they die for the dive on the grass? I don't even know what that means. Why do you think they call them strikes? Honestly, I feel like Gio Jr. could be asking these questions in maybe a year or two.
That's five. True. That's true.
I mean, why do the catchers wear an iron mask?
Yeah, let's see how soccer goes first.
Astros. Baseball, who says it's only a game?
Okay. The Astros lead the American League West by 3 games. We haven't done this in a while either. So we're just bringing back some old classics on a Friday. We're having some fun. It's time for another episode of Mariners Watch.
Mariners Watch.
They had a few things go their way today. We did not. It'll probably flip when we go to Seattle. I do know how hard it is to win on the road, and it'll be very hard for them to win in Seattle.
2024.
3-2 pitch. In the air, deep left center field, hit well. Rodriguez on the run, and it is gone! Oh, Jeremy Peña sends one to the seats, and the Astros lead 1-0 in the 18th inning.
August 16th. Maybe it's just me. We're the fentanyl. We're the heroin. But last I checked, the only thing larger than our lead in the American League West over the Houston Astros were gas prices in Washington State. What the hell happened, man? We just lost 3 games in a row to the Tigers? They're making fun of our tridents? With the spear through 3 pizzas celebration? And worse, Detroit is now considered a safer city than Seattle? I'm not even kidding there. That's actually a list. And we're behind them significantly. We're number one. Least safe city in the United States. I mean, my God, move over, El Paso. Move over, Juarez. We're number one. Scott Service is making Julio Rodriguez play on one leg. This is something Scott Service actually said about Julio Rodriguez. He wants to play. He's not going to hurt it any worse. That's what I've been told. So he's going to have to grind through it. I mean, my God, even Dusty Baker wouldn't do that to his team. Clear HIPAA violation. Holy crap. We're effed.
Mariners Watch, everybody.
Text line here from the 832. Paul, you need to sing that Astro song at karaoke.
I wouldn't want to do that to the fine people at T-Bones.
If you get the right crowd, they might really be into it.
T-Bone Saturday night could be good. We have a couple other nominations. This one, you know what? I like this one. I'm not sure everyone's going to like this one. From the 832, Astros steal! Steal signs, bases, whatever.
I kind of like it. Steal the division.
Steal our hearts.
I like it. I kind of like it.
Steal the minds of the haters. And their orange derangement syndrome.
Steal the AL.
I you know what? That's
I think that's
steal the entire AL. That's the
yeah. that works.
That's the acronym.
I do kind of like Sparkle still. Still kind of like it.
I think it's in the final four.
It's in the final.
Yeah, four. I think so. Right now, I think steal, launch, Sparkle are into the final four.
Yeah. Maybe nomical.
Astronomical is so stupid. I love it.
Yeah, just because it's so stupid.
Astronomical. What do we have? Astros.
Sparkle. Sparkle. Launch. Nomical. Steal.
Launch. Steal. Okay.
From the 409, just keeps it really simple. Just win. Like, I get it. It's simple. Not there.
Yeah, but then I want to do what the Hawks, the actual heroes of the movie, the Mighty Ducks, do for Coach Jack Riley, the greatest winner of all time, except for when Gordon Bombay, future alcoholic, blew it. It's not a kid's game. It's a real game.
I think it was former alcoholic.
I think it was current alcoholic.
Like, no, he stops drinking. He stops drinking after he drives a limousine on ice with children in it.
Yeah.
That's still the wildest part of that movie.
Right, exactly. Oh, the ice is fine. Oh, yeah, you really knew that, Gordon Bombay. You're a booze bag. But the Hawks in that movie, whenever they're about to win, they go, win, 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 win. And I love them. You know, they got a 9-year-old goon who takes out banks, who's literally friends with all these kids because they're all these little ritzy cake eaters, but they're tough ritzy cake eaters. And when he's asked why, he cross-checks banks in the back and makes this 9-year-old slam headfirst into the goalpost, suffering a concussion and possible broken neck. The kid says, my job. He's like 9. I love it. The Hawks were the best part of that movie, and you can't convince me otherwise. Gordon Bombay was teaching these kids that winning wasn't the only thing that matters.
Yeah, what a soft boy.
Yeah, total soft boy.
Liftoff?
Eh, it's two words and it's too close to launch. Like, yeah. Launch is the same thing as liftoff.
Crush from the 713?
Yeah, we did that one before. I don't think so. Vamos from Pinche on the Twitch.
Okay.
Sure.
Vamos is not bad. I feel like the Final Four.
I feel like Jeremy Branham uses it on Twitter too much.
Yeah.
To announce the launching of the Killer Bees. I feel like that's their word. I would be taking from Jeremy's culture.
Yeah. Did we say smash from we got from the 832?
Astro smash. No, we didn't do that.
It's okay.
It's a little too hulky. Too much of a ripoff of the Hulk.
Copyright infringement.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
We don't want Disney coming after us. I mean, my God, you see what Disney did to that poor guy who died of an allergic reaction at a restaurant at Disney World? They found out that his wife had signed him up for Disney Plus, and they're saying that they're not liable because in the terms of Disney Plus sign up, apparently you can't sue Disney for killing your family.
I just don't understand how these things are correlated.
I don't either.
Like Disney Plus is something you watch at your house.
I'm not gonna lie, I kind of respect the fine print writing that you put
that
too. In.
Like
whoa, I'm gonna read
because
fine print
it must
now.
Be something where it's like we are not liable if you die watching Disney Plus, and they're stretching this to die at all. Yeah. Involved with Disney.
Yeah, but that's like saying, like, Paul, you watch the Astros games on TV. So that's really the reason why we don't care about your car.
Well,
like, it's...
To explain Joe's story here, so for those who don't know, my car got assaulted in the parking lot of Minute Maid Park because they overfilled the parking lot for everybody. Before game 2 of the ALCS, and since I parked it in a spot that wasn't great, people were clearly angry at my car and did things to it because it was kind of in the way. But I parked out of the way where people should have been able to drive around it. Whatever the case, I tried to get my money back from the Astros, like to pay the deductible, because they made me go and file a police report just so that I could get the footage of what happened. And then they said, actually, if you read the back of your credential, we're not liable for anything. I found out while reading that fine print that also if I die at Minute Maid Park, they're not responsible for it. Yeah. Gotta read the fine print, but you can't read the fine print until you actually get the credential.
Yeah. Now, at least, like, that's like we have a credential.
Yeah.
So it'd really just be like fan watches Astros game because they have Fubo on television, dies at Minute Maid, and then the Astros would be like, hey, you watch us on TV. Like, I don't know how Disney thinks they're gonna get away with this. Mm. It seems.
I kind of respect it.
I respect it, but it's absurd.
I mean, listen, the guy who created the company was a Nazi sympathizer. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
So are the Ford family, allegedly. Speaking of Detroit, Justin Verlander used to pitch for the Tigers. Tigers swept the Mariners. In Corpus Christi, he hit 96 on the gun, struck out the side in a perfect fourth. 4 innings, 4 hits, 1 earned run, 5 strikeouts. 41 of his 57 pitches for strikes. That sounds pretty good. Again, it's double A ball. I get that. But that sounds pretty good for Justin Verlander and a return, which I hope is going to be within 5 days now. They haven't made an announcement yet. I would think that today that this would be when maybe Joe Espada would make an announcement about Verlander's potential return.
Yeah, I'm skeptical because Justin Verlander himself said that his goal was to get closer to 80 to return. So I don't know if the next step is to be, if he thinks he can now throw 80 pitches in the majors. So because I just expected a higher pitch count. Like I was seeing on social media people, I don't know where it came from, so it could be wrong, but like they said the goal was somewhere between 65 to 75 pitches in yesterday's game for him. So I'm just like, until they talk, I'm a little skeptical. Like I'm curious what Joe Espada has to say, if maybe they think there's one more rehab start. But if Blanco's going to miss time, you kind of need JV.
Do you think Blanco's going to miss time?
I don't know, because they haven't said how. I know they said the x-rays are negative, but that fastball went off his finger, and I imagine it's still got hurt a little bit. So
yeah, and we know them with injuries.
Yeah, and x-rays. X-rays are negative on Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, Kyle Tucker's x-rays were negative.
They've been negative for 3 months. So
it's not quite three in their defense. It's close to 10 weeks.
We're in month three.
It'll be 10 weeks, I think, in 4 days.
Yeah.
If I'm doing my math right.
So I'm a little skeptical. I'm curious what they have to say about JV. I'm hopeful that I'm being overly negative right now.
Astros MRI.
That's Sean, Joe, Paul, Galan and Georgie, SBN 97.5 and 92.5. Up next, baseball might be about to institute a new rule that would probably hurt the Houston Astros, and let's laugh at the misery of other baseball fan bases now that the Astros are back atop the AL West. Galan and George, stick around.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Arguably the president of the Paul Galant Fan Club here in Houston, Ocho Texto, has a fun text. What's up, guys? A friendly reminder that the incomparable and legendary Mr. Spencer Zane Arrighetti pitches tonight. And I'm excited. I'm also worried he won't get much run support versus a lesser opponent. That's from Ocho Texto. I'm curious as to how many strikeouts he gets tonight.
Over, under 6.5.
6.5 is the number?
Yep, 6.5 is the number.
Wow. Over. Now, I mean, it does feel like we have been led directly into a trap, given that he has 25 strikeouts his last two outings. But the White Sox suck. And I am falling hook, line, and sinker for the very, very large piece of cheese.
Yeah, I am too. It's if it wasn't the White Sox, maybe I feel differently, but it's the White Sox. Like Corey Lee, who strikes out a lot, probably in the lineup tonight. I don't know if Corey Jolks will be in the lineup. I'm just trying to think of how many former Astros I can name that are on.
Martin Maldonado not there anymore.
Yep.
He strikes out from time to time.
So I'll take the over in this game and see how. I mean, I'm going to run with it one more time. It's just maybe they change something and it's the White Sox are trash. So if it's going to continue, this would be the game for it to continue.
You also have this, a new potential rule coming to the majors, Joe. You found this where a 6-inning minimum for starting pitchers is being considered as a possible rule change. It's being discussed to restore the prestige of the starting pitcher. The exceptions would be suffering an injury, 100 pitches, or allowing 4 earned runs. The rule would need years of advance notice per ESPN's Jesse Rogers before it could be implemented by MLB. This is a stupid rule.
Yeah, I don't really like it.
I'd like to see starting pitchers pitch more, pitch deeper into games. They're currently averaging 5.25 innings in the majors. I do miss the days of these guys pitching all game, but with the amount of injuries that these guys are suffering, I don't know that you can go back to what it used to be, given that everybody seems to be essentially like twirling their elbows around like a helicopter, which is why we see all these Tommy John injuries.
Yeah, you got 44 guys that have been pitched in the majors that have got Tommy John in 2024. And now you want to force them to throw a certain amount of pitches in a game so they can get out of the sixth? Because, like, if you think about Christian Javier, you know, like...
yeah, he's not a starter anymore.
Yeah, he throws 80 pitches in three innings. Like, you might just want to take him out for the day, but he's got to throw another 20 pitches to get through the fourth. Because, yeah, he hasn't given up any runs, but he just keeps walking guys.
It's a really bizarre rule change. I understand the pitch clock entirely. The games were taking too long. I know that some baseball purists want to keep it in, and I think that they should not have the pitch clock in the playoffs for what it's worth. Pinche asks, who comes up with these stupid rules? Manfred? I don't know. I don't get it. This is a dumb one.
Like, what's the goal?
And I think it's just a proposal. I don't think it's actually coming, but sometimes when these proposals get floated, it's a couple of years later, you see it.
It's floated for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, the problem is a more, like, down-the-line issue of, like Paul was saying, the way these pitchers are using their elbows to throw pitches. Because,
you know, it's like that if you're watching on the video.
Yeah. Because, like, there was a time where guys didn't need Tommy John every time they went over 100 pitches.
Yep.
Like, not to be back in my day, but this is a very recent phenomenon of guys just cannot stay healthy. Like,
yeah.
People are not built to pitch. It's like, no, but people used to be built to
Nolan
pitch.
Ryan. I mean, more than anybody.
Yeah.
Nolan Ryan was pitching, I mean, one, deep into his 40s, but also
like
was...
inhumane amount of pitches.
Exactly.
And so it is, I think it is something with the way mechanics of throwing a baseball are taught now, and saying, oh, you need to go, you have to go six innings now isn't going to change that. It would just take so long and so many bodies, so many bodies would be ruined in the process of doing this. I see what they're trying to get at, but you need to incentivize it without making it a rule.
Do you want to, real quick, Joe, before you make your point, just because I'm on Nolan Ryan, guess how many pitches Nolan Ryan threw in a game? Like the most he ever threw.
I think it's over 200.
It's 235 in an Angels Red Sox game where he was with the Angels.
Didn't he go over like 9 innings? Like he pitched like 10 innings one time.
I'm sure he did. That guy was an effing horse. And guys today, they couldn't do it. And he also beat up Robin Ventura when he charged him on the mound when he was pushing 50. Joe, continue with your thought.
Think about the last segment we just talked about. Justin Verlander threw 57 pitches yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
This rule constitutes if you get injured, you don't have to finish six innings. So if a pitcher is rehabbing, Justin Verlander can't come back and only throw 70 to 80 pitches in a game.
Yeah, because you...
So, like, you have to pray he gets through six?
You're right, because this is how it will happen. They'll put it in the minor leagues first, and then they'll see if it works in the minor leagues. And, yeah, that's going to totally butcher any rehab assignment.
If JV's rehab starts, he's got two more rehab starts.
He's got to throw 100 pitches before he can get out of that game.
Now, he's throwing 98, 99, 97 pitches in almost every single start this year. So, like, it is very doable, but maybe if they drop the pitch count, you could sell me on this. Like, if they dropped it to 90 pitches, I know it's only 10 pitches, but how many guys are getting to 100 pitches every game?
Not many.
Yeah, this seems like a stupid
I don't like it either.
Idea.
I don't like it either.
I don't really understand the purpose of, besides the
restoring the prestige of the starting pitcher. That's what Jesse Rogers said in the piece.
It's trying to solve like an issue where you need like a very detailed scalpel with a butcher knife. It's like, what about this? And it's like, no, but it you need to more go with it, more fine tooth comb of like, okay, how do we get people to stop trying to max out their arms and throw as hard as possible when they're 13 years old and then they need Tommy John surgery?
Yeah, but that's not the point. The point is that like for the older generation, it says back in my day, Greg Maddux and Roger Clemens, they were the stars of the sport that I knew when I looked at the newspaper and those guys were on the mound for an Astros Cubs game that like I was going to the ballpark and watch them on TV. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to reinvent superstars in their starting pitchers
by making the starting pitchers pitch longer. Right. I mean, but, to that point, though, I mean, who is a more relevant starting pitcher in 2024 than, amazingly, a rookie like Paul Skeens, right? Like, isn't he the most relevant nationally most relevant starting pitcher in all of baseball? Like, I'm sure Verlander still gets a little bit.
As far as newer guys.
Yeah. But, who is appointment television as a starting pitcher?
Like 35 and under. There's no one close.
There's no one that jumps out. So that's probably what they're trying to do. But, yeah, I don't think it's going to work. Speaking of pitching, we have some first pitch hot takes going on. The Hawk Tua girl threw out the first pitch at a Mets game. I guess she spit on the ball before she threw it. I think that's charming. A lot of people were upset about it. Think about the children!
Stay on brand. Like,
I think she had a press conference afterwards. I saw a picture, and look, I can't tell what is and what isn't AI these days. Twitter can do some really amazing things with artificial intelligence images, as I've seen over the last couple of days through Croc. I kind of want to screw around with it at some point, but I don't know how to actually do it. But to bring it back to the Hawk Tua girl throwing out the first pitch, Mets fans are really going through it. There is a radio show on WFAN that I guess is simulcast on TV. It features a couple of guys, Sal Licata and someone else who calls himself BT. Here is Sal Licata losing his mind about the Mets because they have Hawk Tua girl and Grimace and the Yankees have more.
The Yankees have Aaron Judge and Juan Soto. Breaking records! Ruth, Mantle, Gehrig, and the Mets have Grimace, and now Hawk Tua! Come on, bro, I can't take it! I cannot take it anymore! It's ridiculous! And then you wonder why fans get so ticked off and upset! It's embarrassing! Is it the biggest deal in the world? No, absolutely. Does it mean anything on the field? No! But that's the problem! The product on the field isn't good enough, and you're coming up with these silly gimmicks that are laughing stock! It's a joke! Hawk Tua!
Spit on that thing.
I think I just want to talk about this the rest of the show.
I mean, like, they made this whole big thing about Grimace and how they went on a win streak after Grimace threw out the first pitch.
This is what's funny about the Northeasterners.
It's so sad.
And I'm a recovering Northeasterner, okay? I can't help where my parents banged. I can't help it. You know? Daddy from Boston, mommy from Philly. Yes, they had sex to create me. They probably hate to admit it these days. And I know this conversation is just getting weirder and weirder by the moment. So bear with me here. Northeastern people get so damn angry. And I still get angry. You guys see it from time to time. Usually it's Sean who's poking me. Sometimes it's Joe who's poking me.
Sometimes it's your mouse.
Hang on. This is just me telling who I am. I have massive anger issues. I mean, this week, I threw my bag at the wall. This week. That's the thing I threw this week. But people like listening to that up there.
I don't get why. Like, it's
not
my brand.
Do you laugh at it? Do you agree with it? Are you like, yeah? Like, that's what I wonder now. Because this is a very unique sports town. It is not the most passionate sports fan base in the country. I think it's far from it. In fact, don't hate me for saying that. Listen, I get it. I get it. But there's a weird dynamic with Northeastern sports talk, which people that are programmers up in the Northeast try to force on every other city in the country. And it's just that all the time. It's just that.
Because, like, this is weird because it's not even a sports take. Like, he's not legitimately getting mad about Francisco Lindor not being healthy or the fact that they signed Justin Verlander and Max Scherzer and had to trade them and just eat their salary. He's getting mad about the first pitch. I'm sure at some point they've gone on a tangent about the loony bins of all loony bins in sports media, Frank the Tank, who threw out a pitch against the Mets. He did it for
he's
the
so
Rockies.
Fat. It's disgusting.
The Mets have gone 3-6 since Frank the Tank threw out a first pitch.
Frank the Tank, I'm sure he's a nice guy. It disgusts me how fat he is. I think it's absolute, like, that is something he needs to work on for his own health.
I think he's actually down to like 330 and was like 550. Isn't that absurd?
550?
I swear I saw something that said he was above 500.
Fat shaming. I know people get mad at people who do it, but my God, 550? What are you doing?
You ever meet someone that like, so that's like your number one red flag? If you want a date with someone and they say they watch the 1,000-pound woman show or whatever.
No.
My 600-pound.
Yeah.
Come on, Joe. I mean, like now you're hurting me here. My red flag is does the person look like they've ever worked out? Like if they don't look
if they watch that show though, if they watch the show, if they watch the my 600-pound sister or boyfriend, whatever it is,
I'm not watching it with them.
Okay,
I don't care. You can watch whatever you want to watch. I'm just not watching.
I couldn't watch that show. My wife makes me watch a lot of trash. If she started watching that, there would be a protest.
What's the one with the two big sisters and not Honey Boo, Boo, whatever her name is. There's another one where they're like these two sisters and they're like riding around in a grocery store in those rascal scooters.
I don't think I've seen this one.
You know, my least favorite moment working in the private sector was while working at Hannaford's restaurant in North Quincy, Massachusetts, and seeing a woman who would come in every single day, and she was in a rascal scooter moving around, and she would put food in her shirt, and she was so big, she thought people would not notice it.
So she would steal it, like, in her rolls?
Yeah, she tried to steal it, so I had to, basically, every time, she did this multiple times, and for whatever reason, we just let her back in, and multiple times, I had to be like, hey, you can't do that.
Oh, man.
I know, and I'm like, and then there was always some sort of a self-righteous indignation, like, how dare you? I was like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
Anyway.
1,000-pound sisters.
That's it. Yeah, that one. Ugh. I don't understand how, but whatever. It's America. And also, as far as first pitches go, you got the Hawk Tua girl. You also have Machine Gun Kelly throwing his first pitch into the stands. I think that's an act of cowardice. Throw the ball down to home plate.
Yeah, he said he signed it.
That's something you do if you're nervous you're not actually going to make it to home plate. Oh, wow. I got a Machine Gun Kelly autographed baseball. Awesome. Man, I'm going to put that on my mantle.
I don't believe that he did it on purpose.
No, he did. Did you watch the video?
Oh, no.
He definitely did it on purpose. He did it on purpose, but I felt like he did it on purpose because he
didn't want to throw a first pitch.
Yeah.
And have that.
Oh, okay. I see. Okay. Yeah.
He didn't want a 50 cent.
Anyway.
You could kill someone the way he threw that thing.
Yeah. Not great. Galanta George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We are 20 days away from the start of the NFL season. Texas Swarm! And we remember the end of an amazing career on television. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant and Joe George.
I'm hurt, dog. Don't ask me if I'm all right. Hell no. Joaquin said dominate, and we not doing it. I'm putting my heart in this shit, dog. Let's go, man.
Let's go, baby.
Woo. Let's go.
That's Ed Reed with the U back in the day. Playing hurt. He played hurt with the Houston Texans.
Well, it wasn't hurting.
It did not go well in that. Not even half season. He did raise fair points before the Texans cut him, and he finished his season with the Jets, where he actually was fairly productive. He said the Texans got too predictable. But then, I think last year, he talked about how, or maybe it was 3 years ago when the Texans were at their absolute worst, where he basically implied that the people that were working for the Texans were rude and talked down to players. And I had a hard time believing that with Gary Kubiak and Wade Phillips running things.
Yeah, I also think that's something you would hear more about. Like if that was really an issue with being like players being talked down to.
Yeah. And
you'd hear more complaints.
He's a suspect narrator. I say that because of what happened when he took over the job as head coach of Bethune-Cookman, which took... what, 2 months before he was gone and talking trash about them at the end, too. But when he was with the Ravens, best safety in NFL history. Some other number 20s. We got to remember Barry Sanders. I wanted just to get some Pat Summerall and John Madden back in our lives. This is from the Lions' defeat of the Dallas Cowboys in the 1991 divisional round of the playoffs.
People
how to make up signs like that. I mean, they ought to just, you know, go to their homes and read.
Sanders still on his feet, and Sanders is gone. Six Cowboys missed him. Sanders had carried 11 times before that for 22 yards, and then that one from 47 yards.
Well, you know, it's just a matter of time before everyone on this team is going to be heard from. You think you got them tackled? I mean, that's by keeping your feet going and making Sanders move.
That's probably Sanders' most important run, given where it happened. It's an awesome run if you've never seen it. If you actually listen to the original call of that, Pat Summerall lets that thing breathe. And it's really funny because that touchdown run cut off John Madden midstream of consciousness, talking about, I believe, a sign in the stands. I want to know what that sign said.
Yeah, that might be a good one for the movie.
Featuring Nicolas Cage playing John Madden. I'm glad you brought that up. There is going to be a biopic movie about, I think, the making of the video game where Nicolas Cage is going to play John Madden. Nicolas Cage can only play Nicolas Cage, but I'm excited to see Nicolas Cage playing Nicolas Cage impersonating John Madden. I'm excited for that. I love Nick Cage, and you can't tell me that loving Nick Cage is the greatest thing a man can do.
Yeah, sometimes I wish movies would, just because you never know what's going to happen, would act faster on this stuff. I know it was the 90s when John Candy passed away. It was 94. But gosh, you've been the perfect John Madden.
Yeah, that would have worked. That would have worked.
I am curious.
Frank Caliendo does a good John Madden as well, for those who haven't heard him do that. But yeah, loving Nick Cage. If that's wrong, I don't want to be right.
Gone in 60 Seconds. I love that movie.
The 3-year run of The Rock, Con Air, and Face Off is the greatest run by any single actor in 3 action movies. Not close. It's incredible. All 3 of those movies are amazing rewatches.
Especially if you go, like, it can't be a sequel to one of them, where it's like just 3 different independent movies.
All ridiculous.
Movie. Yeah.
Fantastic. Gone in 60 Seconds. Pretty good, too. Justin Reed, Steve Slayton, other guys who wore number 20. Justin Reed.
What a guy.
Slayton had a really good year for fantasy football players back in the day. That one year was really awesome. One of many awesome and fun West Virginia players. They had Pat White. They had Noel Devine. Tavon Austin, who just retired. Justin Reed, remember when he got benched by the Texans towards the end of the 2021 season with David Culley, and then he goes on to win back-to-back Super Bowls with the Chiefs. The current number 20 for the Houston Texans is Jimmy Ward. Justin Simmons signed with the Atlanta Falcons. I think a lot of people wanted him to sign with the Houston Texans. Not a lot of money on him either. What was it, 1 year, $8 million?
Yeah, yep.
Slightly more than what Quandre Diggs got from the Tennessee Titans, which was 1 year and $5 million. Clearly the Texans like their safeties. And I will say this, if Kalen Bullock's going to play by the end of the year, be a starter by the end of the year, someone like a Justin Simmons or a Quandre Diggs would get in the way.
Yeah, I mean, also Atlanta must really hate their defense in practice right now. Getting Judon and Justin Simmons within a 24-hour period, they must be stressing as they look on. Yeah, I'm bummed he's not a Texan, but they must really believe in Kalen Bullock, that he's going to eventually step in. And I guess enough in what, would you say, MJ Stewart? Or
Eric Murray, MJ Stewart. Those are the guys that are behind. But they're going to move Petrie into the nickel corner position. And Bullock, I think, will be the other safety opposite Jimmy Ward by season's end. The depth, not a lot of it there. And that could be an issue as the season goes on. But there's still time left in training camp for the Texans to potentially add another veteran. The New England Patriots seem like a disaster. My God. There's a lot of things that are coming out of Foxborough that are not making me, a Patriots fan, feel great. The Matthew Judon trade for just a third-round pick, not that much. Guy's a damn good pass rusher, even if he's coming off of an injury. This is an interview that Steve Burton, a Boston area TV sports guy, did with running back Ramondre Stevenson. And whether this is on the interviewer, Stevenson, the vibes are just off in New England, and I'm sad.
I got to ask you about the guy who just left. how much are they going to miss him, and who's going to step up in his place?
Yeah, I miss Bill. That was one of my favorite coaches. But, you know, Mayo, he's a great leader. He knows what he's doing with us. And, yeah, I'm excited for Mayo, and I think we can get it done with him.
I wasn't talking about Mayo. He's talking about your defensive teammate.
Oh, Judon.
He's moving on to better places?
Uh-huh, yeah. Excited.
Maybe it's a different place.
Sure, a different place. Excited for him. You know, I still know he has a couple more years in him, so I'm excited for him.
Right. But this defense is stepping up.
Yeah, defense is doing great.
So, not the best interview by Burton there.
That's on the air viewer. That question sucked. Like, you have a team that Judon left. You've had other players leave. Bill Belichick left. Steve Belichick left.
But he is right in moving on to better places. Atlanta is yes. going to be a better team than the Patriots this year.
Yeah, they're gonna go. They're going through it here for a little bit, Paul.
Yeah,
welcome to the rebuild.
Yeah, I know.
Joe Milton looked good.
6 Super Bowls. I still can do that for 5 more years. Okay, before I become a Cowboys fan, I got 5 more years. 2018.
Huh.
Okay. 2019 season. That was 5 years ago. 2019 was when they won it. Okay. Okay. Hey, stop.
Hey, if Drake May's good, Paul, they'll be back in the playoffs in like 2 years.
He would for a team that brings up the 85 Bears.
That's true. I'm just saying. Thank you. I get 5 more years to claim my 6 rings, and that is all.
That was rude. I was trying to be supportive of Paul and tell him that if Drake May is good, they'll be okay.
I'm saying he has like
checks
20,
in the mail, Sean.
I'm saying zero he has 20 Bowls. More years. Of
zero
Super Bowl.
Zero for the Texans.
Aaron Rodgers is back with the New York Jets. He was asked about his time in Egypt. My God, Aaron Rodgers is such a douche.
And some frustration and disappointment and heartbreak going somewhere I've wanted to go since I was a child. So
did it live up to the expectations?
Yeah, it was one of the few places in life where it kind of exceeded the expectations, to be honest. The only other place that kind of has been that time was when I went to Augusta. Honestly.
Augusta in Egypt, yeah.
Yeah, right. Like, no, there's very few places in life. You know, that's right. Why if you put your expectations too high, you're going to set yourself up for some sort of disappointment. But I had a better...
He compared Egypt to Augusta. What a douche.
I don't quite understand. Like, I guess it just blew his expectations away. Aaron Rodgers is... I watched the interview he did with Boomer, and this might have been from the same interview, where they talk about this book. And he was just so... He just kept being like, some of the book's true, some of it's not. Some of it's exaggerated, some of it's not. And I was like, just... Give a straight answer. Like, did your mom stop talking to you because you had premarital sex with your ex-girlfriend? Like, yes or no?
That's a tough question.
That's not a hard question
like,
to answer.
I like that's your, like, we want the truth.
Like, just answer the questions. I despise Aaron Rodgers.
I just think, like, bragging about a trip to Egypt while also bragging that you've played at Augusta.
That is
like the epitome of douchery.
100% what he was doing.
WFAN's BT and Sal Lipica show, whatever. I don't know what the name is, but here's a moment where BT talks about what he hopes Robert Saleh does to Aaron Rodgers.
This is what Aaron Rodgers should. Maybe he already did this. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, I knock on his door, or I text him, or I call him, or I have already had a beer with him before we went to camp. After I got back from Egypt, I say, Coach, you got to coach me hard. You get on me. We're good. Trust me. I know it's coming from a good spot. Get in my ass. Get on my ass. Right. In the behind when I need it.
In it?
Yeah.
First of all, I don't think Aaron Rodgers wants any version of what was just said. In, on, whatever. Hard coaching, soft coaching. I don't think Aaron Rodgers wants anything to do with that.
Especially in his ass.
Get in my ass.
I know we all have slip-ups. I'm glad I didn't have one of those today. I'd rather not be able to spell orbit than do that.
While we're getting a little bit too sexual... It is a Friday, got to get down on Friday. We're trying to think up an Astros slogan, more of those, in the 2 o'clock hour. We have to pour one out. We have to pour one out for a good friend of ours, because this is a guy who does media the way that I want to do it, by being himself. There's a lot of controversy over why Robert Griffin III and Samantha Ponder were let go by ESPN. Many believe it's because they had some hot takes about that Algerian female boxer who had a lot of testosterone in her system, Iman Khalif. I do think some people jump to conclusions with the reaction there. There are plenty of other transgender men playing women's sports stories to get mad about. I don't know that this is why RG3 and Samantha Ponder got let go. I just know I'm going to miss my friend, to quote Red from Shawshank Redemption. I just miss my friend. Because RG3, as a broadcaster, was so fun. Want to go down memory lane with me, Joe?
I'm ready.
Here is RG3 subtly pitching himself to be one of the Jets quarterbacks.
Talk about free agent quarterbacks. Yeah. There's a reason that certain guys aren't in the league. It's because they're uninspired. But Foxy knows this. Some of these guys like Carson Wentz, Cam Newton, Colin Kaepernick, myself, it's not that we can't play the game anymore. It's that we're a big distraction if you bring us in. I had a GM tell me this offseason, hey, man, I know you can still play. You look like you can still play. But if we bring you in, it's going to be a distraction for our starting quarterback. So now that your starter and Aaron Rodgers is out, you can potentially go and grab some of those guys.
I like that someone decided to add that edit in at the end.
Cool. I like that. I mean, it's like a soft pitch.
You could see, and that's when they played the Curb theme. It was Dominic Foxworth, and I forgot who the other guy's name is. But they're both like, just have a look of like, I don't want to roll my eyes on live TV, but I am kind of rolling my eyes at this.
Well, if Davis Mills' ribs are hurt, Texans?
RG3.
Backup?
Didn't he do that last year? Didn't he say after the Texans, or was that Cam Newton? One of them said they would love to come be the backup and mentor CJ Stroud.
I hope it wasn't RG3.
It was RG3 or Cam
Newton. I don't want RG3 mentoring.
I can't remember which one it was.
I just would prefer to have his athleticism as backup quarterback. I think he was last with Baltimore as a backup or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that sounds right.
More best hits of RG3. A person by the name of Orgy scored a touchdown, and this was his call.
Quarterback, he makes the read, and what do you know, guys? It's an orgy in the end zone.
The man's very sexual.
Yeah.
You see that picture of him eating a croissant?
Yeah. With
sexual.
The largest croissant ever.
It was a big croissant. Croissants are good, man.
RG3 knows what plays. He knows what plays.
Croissant underrated like breakfast food. Like breakfast sandwich on a croissant.
It's so flaky, it's kind of annoying how messy it is, but you're right.
Can't be a car snack.
Yeah.
That would be a mistake.
I would kill for a croissant right now.
Oh, should we order some croissants? You got an intern out there?
Where would we order them from?
I don't know.
Kolache Factory? I know. I don't want it. I've had a couple of slip-ups today. Cut me some slack. Forgot to eat. Again, this is my problem.
Someone said he got fired because he took a shot at Feinbaum.
Yeah, I don't believe that. That was Barstool. I don't believe that. That's big Tennessee. He's had enough stupid takes for 1 week. The other one, which was about like how, ooh, I'm not going to my sister's wedding because of a college football game. You loser. Michael Penix. Here is RG3 calling him, making a Michael Penix comment.
Hey, Mark, I think I got that nickname. What is it? It's Big Penix Energy. Man, he got Big Penix Energy.
Hell yeah. Now, as someone who was saying it was Penix last year because I'm a child.
Yes.
I like that.
I just imagine RG3 like sitting in his hotel room, like looking in the mirror, writing these downs, and then like repeating them and just like laughing at himself. And then he's like, can't wait to say this one.
Orgy in the end zone.
Yeah.
Got it.
Big Penix energy.
Keeping sexual, how about this comment during, I believe, an Oregon State game?
Jorgensen beat that beaver up. Wow. Oh, my Lord.
Robert. This is a children's
Robert. I think since that one's a Pac-12 one, all rules are off.
Yeah, yeah. Pac-12 after dark.
If it happens after 11 o'clock, you're good.
Bill Walton, RG3. What's the difference?
You're right.
Let him cook.
One last memory of RG3 on a broadcast.
Potentially get a first down. The coverage was there. They lifted that man up to the sky like he was Jesus, letting them know they're going to put him on the cross right there. Wow. Great job by old Mrs. D.
What do you think the play-by-play guys is doing for each of these things? Because these guys have sticks all the way in their ass.
Yeah, I'm curious who – I can't remember who he was paired up with.
I think a lot of times it was Mark Jones, who is a good – he's
a good foil
wingman to this.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember I've watched this one live and I remember just like sitting in shock that he just said that. I was like, whoa.
That's amazing.
Of all the things I thought he was going with that, I did not think like he was Jesus and they're nailing him to the cross.
Yeah. That's hey, it's a bold move. We'll miss you, RG. Three.
Robert.
I like that you called him Robert.
That's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean behind the glass. It's Gallon and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Astros looking to make it 9 in a row tonight against the Chicago White Sox. 11 games over 500. 4 games up in the American League West. We'll see. And we're also trying to come up with an Astros slogan. It's a Friday. Got to get down on Friday. Come play with us, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.